Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done glorious. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The catechetical review, the sacrament of the altar. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Peter. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
We sing verse 2 of hymn 556.
The epistle reading comes from James chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we sing together the Gospel Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel for the fifth Sunday of Easter from John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We sing verse 3 of hymn 556. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for your word and your promises that never change. Strengthen us in that, dear Father. And continue your work of saving throughout your world. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. This coming week, I have a great privilege. I get to travel to the seminary in Fort Wayne and speak to a bunch of baby pastors about youth ministry. These pastors have received their calls. They know where they're going, but they haven't done this before. They're going to be in a congregation of people, old and young and youth involved, and they're going to give them the gifts of God's word preached to them, the sacraments delivered to them, and they will be expected to do youth ministry. It's not really as hard as you would think, but it is somewhat scary. The topic I get to talk about is this new generation, not so new anymore, this Generation Z that's in our youth groups right now, and there are a lot of statistics around already about Generation Z. The percentage of teens in Generation Z that identify as atheist is double of that of the rest of the population, a higher percentage than ever before. A large part of this generation would categorize themselves as nuns, not habit and rosary nun, But when they answer the question about religion, they check the box, none. This Generation Z is growing up in a post-Christian culture. And that's never happened in our lifetime before. They believe that about 37% of Generation Z does not believe it's possible to know God for sure. And this generation, Generation Z, looks at truth to be relative to what you believe. And at worst, they believe that truth is totally unknowable. That categorizes Generation Z. And what approach do we take when we have a generation now growing up that will fundamentally shift the tables of how the Christian church works in the world? How do we approach that generation? How do we reach into their world to tell them about a Savior that they have absolutely no belief in or no knowledge of? Well, it's not as difficult as you would think. We use the same plan and the same way that Jesus has done it for years. We take them back to God's Word. In the Epistle of James, in the first chapter, James says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." When we analyze all of the info that we have on Generation Z, frankly, it scares us because this generation is so much different and our world right now is so much different than it has been in the past. We quickly realize that the things that the church has traditionally done, like Walther League and LYF and different programs like that, probably are not going to work on this generation. They are not those people who are loyal to brands. They are not people who are generally joiners in big organizations just because that's the thing that you do. So instead of developing some new program, some new package that will help Generation Z make their entrance into the church, we go back to what God said. We go back to what God has done. Every good and perfect gift is from above. You see, Generation Z is not the first generation that has not believed in Jesus. Generation Z is not the first generation with atheists. Generation Z is not the first generation that has grown up in a world that's rapidly changing. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to Abraham's world. Abraham was a non-believer. He was worshiping pagan gods. He was living in a land that was completely culturally pagan. And God spoke to Abram. God spoke to him and gave faith to him. God called him out of everything that he knew, and he literally sent him in the opposite direction with a promise. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Nations will come from you. Childless Abram and his wife Sarai had kids by the promise of God. The impossible happened because God spoke. The childless couple had kids. The unbeliever believed and was saved. You see, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God kept his promise. It's the same thing that happened in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, in the third chapter. There is a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, you could qualify him as religious or spiritual or even skeptical. However you want to classify him, he was watching Jesus. He was watching the things that Jesus did that were different than anything anyone else could do. He was listening to the words that Jesus spoke. And under the cover of darkness, he sought out this truth. He went and he found Jesus. And well, you know the story. John 3:16, Jesus is sitting there and Nicodemus says, "How am I to be born again? Should I crawl into my mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "No, you need to be born of word and water and spirit." And then God says this, and you know these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then a most powerful verse after that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow due to change. There's no variation. God is still taking every opportunity put in front of him and making these opportunities for people to be in contact with his word. And his word saves. There is no shadow due to change. The world around us is changing. Just look at the changes that have happened since the last year. But God has not. His word has not. His changes have not changed. They are just as powerful now and true now as they were before all of this. Jesus is the light of the world, and where the light is, there is no darkness. There is no shadow. We have a ministry here at Divine Shepherd that I call Popsicle Evangelism. You saw just a little bit of it right here. 4 years ago, when we were just about ready to move into the new sanctuary, all that new concrete out there was just poured, and there were a number of kids from the neighborhood that gathered around with their skateboards, and they were having a ball out there. And when I pulled into the parking lot, I could see them. They all turned and they looked, and they wondered, what was I going to do? Was I going to run them off? Was I going to chase them out for skating on our new concrete? Well, I walked over to them, and I could see them already putting their boards under their arms, ready to make their way down the street. And it was a hot spring day. I sat down next to them in the shade, and we talked. We talked about skating, which I know nothing about, by the way. We talked about school and home and family. And as we're sitting there, I said, you guys want to come in and get a popsicle? Because we had these Freezy Pops in the freezer. And they walked in with me. We walked through these doors. And as we walked into the fellowship hall, on that wall is that cross with John 3:16 in it. And we stopped. And I said, would you read that with me? And they read it. And we talked about who Jesus is. It's just as simple as that. And now, even today, as kids from the neighborhood come by, they pop in, they see if I'm in my office, and they say, Pastor, can we have popsicles? And I say, absolutely. But what do we have to do first? And they know. And most of them by now know John 3:16 by heart, and the 23rd Psalm by heart, and a number of other verses we're working on so that they know who Jesus is. God doesn't change. He provides opportunities for us to tell others about Jesus. And it's just as simple as that. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow, and no change. The very same words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, I have the privilege to speak to these kids. The very same saving work that brought Nicodemus from being a Pharisee to one that would be standing at Jesus' cross and taking his body down are the very words that I speak to these kids. The gospel, the forgiveness of Jesus, the hope and promise that when their life changes and they can't do a thing about it, there is a God that loves them and knows them and doesn't change and will continue to be their Savior that they might be his people. We get a little excited when it comes to telling people about Jesus, a little nervous maybe, a little fearful about not knowing enough, not knowing what to do. What happens if I do it wrong? What happens if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? Well, that's easy. Just call me and we'll get back to them. But it's really not difficult. You know what to tell them. That your Lord Jesus Christ created them and loves them and has forgiven them through his death on the cross, and they are completely forgiven of their sins by what Jesus did. His perfect sinless life on the cross covered all of the things that would keep them from being in heaven with their Savior. His blood covers all of their sins. His death assures them that one day when they die, they will rise to be with Jesus. And if all of this is first-time news to them, we always remind them that it's not, knowing Jesus is not about having all the answers. It's about trusting that Jesus has done this for them. Popsicle evangelism works, and it's more effective than you would think. This last week, one of these girls that has been coming in now for a couple of years and walks by the cross and specifically turns her back on the cross so she can make sure that I know that she knows John 3:16 by memory, she brought one of her friends with her. And as I'm telling her friend about Jesus, I asked her, "Do you know this story?" And she said, "No." I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And she said, "No, I've never heard of him before." That's popsicle evangelism. It's telling people about Jesus. From the little to the later, all of us need to know and believe and trust in that good and perfect things come from God into his church, to his people. The baby pastors that I'm going to talk to this coming week, they are probably expecting me to hand them some perfect program to work in youth ministry. And I don't have that. What I have is what's worked for centuries. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus has forgiven you. What I hope that those pastors will hear and that you will hear is that every kid that comes in here that seems so much different than us is fundamentally the same. They're sinners that need a Savior. They're sinners that need to know of the love of a God who loves them so much that he would send his Son to die for them so that they would be forgiven and part of his family. There's a couple of things that I hope that the seminarians will hear and that you will hear as well. The first is a reminder. These kids are not that much different than they are. They've got worries and fears. They've got problems at home. They've got sins and struggles. And these pastors have hope. And you have hope. And that's a hope that we can share with them. That Jesus, being preached into our ears, strengthen us. That Jesus, given to us in water and the Word, changes us and gives us new life. That Jesus, in his very body and blood for us, is the real risen Savior for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The second thing I hope they and you hear are words of encouragement. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or change. God has been saving his people from the very beginning through Jesus. First through a promise, then through a Savior, and now through faith in what our Savior has done for us. Seeking and saving the lost has always been God's plan. For Generation Z and Generation Alpha that is coming after them, for your generation and mine, and for all mankind. God didn't use a perfect program. He didn't even use perfect people. He used his perfect Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross for you, for your forgiveness. On a much smaller note, God does use us in this plan of salvation, not in the saving, but he uses us in popsicle evangelism. He uses us when you tell someone about Jesus. He uses us when you live that Christian life and your neighbors and your family and friends can see you doing that. He uses us when he encourages you and you encourage someone else. He uses us when you give your offerings and we hold Vacation Bible School for the community around us who is now expecting popsicles when they come through the door. He uses you when we go to Hong Kong. And when we have Sunday school and Bible study. Dear saints, don't be intimidated by the statistics of a new generation that's coming. Don't pull the covers over your head and say, oh, woe is me, that's somebody else's job. Go out and love your neighbor, no matter their size. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the hope that you have. God will do the saving. That's not up to you. We just live the joy that he's given to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.